Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Clutch Podcast. Here, we're going to embark into a new episode, and the title of today's episode is Catching the Vision. And we're going to actually talk about, are we living the vision or what we had envisioned for ourselves maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago? So before we begin in today's episode, we're going to work the room and get involved with everyone else that is on the line. So let's start with Tawanda. How are you feeling today, Tawanda?
Ease, man. I'm feeling absolutely incredible. How about yourself?
I'm feeling wonderful. And how about you, Dara?
I am doing great, thanks. It was it's a beautiful hot day here.
That is awesome. So I'm glad that my two co-hosts today are doing awesome and enjoying the summer weather. So to begin, let's get into the first question that I have for you lovely ladies. So today, like I said earlier, we're going to be talking about are we living the life that we envisioned maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago? So we don't have to say our age, you know what I mean? But we're all in different stages of our life. And so what I might have thought about maybe 20, 30 years ago might be different from the other two young ladies that are on this line as well. So we're going to get into the fundamental question. So are we living the life that we envisioned to us for ourselves when we were younger? So I'm going to ask you first, Dara, looking back when you were a child or a young adult, what were your earliest dreams and aspirations?
So such a good question, but I really thought that I would get married and that I would have kids. I didn't really have the vision of the white picket fence, but I definitely did think that I would get married and that I would have children and that I would probably continue on, that I would work. You know, it's the norms or you basically follow in the footsteps of your family. And so I just thought I would continue in corporate jobs until I retired someday. That's what I thought my life would be. I'd have a husband and children, and I'd work a job.
I can see that. And the funny thing is with me, I never wanted to get married. I never thought about it. And my parents were married my whole, basically until I was 26. So before I was born until I was 26. But marriage was never in my thought process. So what about you, Tawanda? What was your earliest dreams and aspirations?
That's really interesting of what Dara said. Basically, when I was a kid, I'm the oldest of three. So I always was thinking and creating and leading my siblings, even from when I was in the third grade. And because I would always find stuff for us to do, my first vision was to be a school teacher because we live out in the country, so there wasn't a lot to do. So we had those encyclopedia books that everybody probably had. And we would be having those books. We'll have paper. We'll be writing, coloring. And I think I was a school teacher and the principal, and I was giving beatings at the same time. So the very first thing I really, really wanted was to be a school teacher because I just had this thing about teaching and learning. Now, when it comes to like marriage and kids, I don't recall having that vision. The biggest thing is I wanted to be a school teacher. And then one time I think I was thinking I wanted to be like an FBI agent or something like that, catch the bad people. Those were my earlier visions, probably from like age 7, 8 to maybe about 10 or 11.
Okay. And I was on the same notion. I wanted to help people. So my first career that I wanted to do when I was young was to be a doctor. And I quickly changed my mind about that because one day my dad put on, he's flipping through channels and it was an operation and he stopped to watch the operation and it was on a small child. And I said, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I don't want to be a doctor anymore. Because I'm just not built for that gruesome stuff, but I still do want to help people. So can you maybe, Tawanda, share a specific moment or vision that stand out from your younger years?
Man, I have so many. Do you, in reference to anything in particular or just any type of moment?
No, something like that would pertain to your vision, sort of like how I wanted to be a doctor and then that moment happened and I decided that's not for me.
Okay. Well, two things I will say. So like I said, initially I wanted to be a school teacher. And then one time I wanted to be like an FBI agent or something like that because I've always loved like the cop shows. And what happened is I had saw something I saw on TV. I started seeing a lot of cop shows where the cops were on the take. And then I started seeing stuff on the news and cops were on the take. And then I started to realize, you know what? I don't think this is going to be for me. And I said that because I really wanted to put the bad people away, but I was confused about who the bad people really were. And I said to myself, I'll be so dumb, this girl from this small town, this country girl, trying to put my heart into something and get the bad people, and we'll be on a stakeout or something. My partner get me because my partner's really the bad person. So that kind of broke my heart because that was something I was really, really passionate about. And I didn't want to be in law enforcement anymore. But also a defining moment when I was a kid, like I said, I grew up in a small town. I'm oldest of three. My dad worked. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And we didn't have a whole lot. My grandmother would say to me a lot of different times, I remember one time she had some, like, peas and beans, and everybody was shelling them. And she wanted to know what was wrong with my hands. And I said, what do you mean? She was like, get in here and shell these beans and peas. And I said, oh, I don't do that. And she was like, what you think you're going to eat later? And I'm like, oh, I don't eat stuff like that. And she said, girl, you're poor. She didn't even say poor. She said, you're po, and this is what po people eat. And I said, I'm not po. And she was like, oh, do you have money? I'm like, well, no, but I'm not whole. And I just started realizing and understanding, like, wait a minute, we really don't have a lot. And I didn't like that. So my next-door neighbor, her mom and dad both worked. They had great – mom had a good job. Dad had a trucking business. And when we got ready to go to school, they had, like, 30, 40 outfits and all this different stuff. I used to borrow her clothes. And I'm like, you know what? I got to find something to do where I won't be poor. So that was definitely a defining moment because I was a kid. I didn't have any money. But I didn't like not having money, and not just because it was really about money, but I knew with money I could do stuff and I could go places because we didn't have a lot. I used to go to, like, the games and stuff, but I went with my friends and their mama. And they would just pick me up. And I was so thankful for it because I just got exposed to so many other things in life that I never probably would have been exposed to because I didn't have any of that around me.
Okay. So you think that made your dreams evolve?
Absolutely. It helped me to start to dream, and it helped me to open my mind. Because a lot of times, you know, you talk about associations, that you're the average of the five people that you're around. I wasn't around bad people. I just wasn't around people that were educated or professional or successful because I didn't have that in my peripheral. So, yeah, when I got a whiff of it, I knew I had to do something different.
And, Dee, let me ask you, because we all know that life unfolds and it evolves in different ways that we don't necessarily expect it. Did your dreams evolve or transfer in an unexpected way?
I think so. I mean, honestly, I didn't – when I was growing up, so I have a little bit different upbringing because I was – I'm an adopted child. And I wasn't adopted right away as a newborn, so I wasn't adopted until I was 18 months old. And so I never had confidence. I never believed that I was going to amount to much. And I never felt like that my dreams mattered. And so I don't think I dreamed a lot. Like, I don't really recall, like, saying, oh, I'm going to get married and I'm going to do this. But I think in my brain, you know, that's what people do. They get married and they have children and they work. And so for me, yes, definitely, I think in my 30s, when I realized I don't trust anybody enough to marry them, and that was how my brain worked, was the trust factor. And then on top of it, I realized that I didn't think I was going to be able to get pregnant. And there's just something, you know, intuitive in me that said, it's not going to happen. And things changed, but it allowed me the freedom to be able to live all over the country. You know, when you're settled down and you're with somebody who's all their roots and things like that. So I've lived all over the United States, and I've had an opportunity to live in Brazil for a little bit and other places. And so, you know, I guess if you want to say in ways that you didn't expect, well, yeah, then my life definitely took a turn in that way.
Okay. And was there any, like, specific defining moment that made you say, okay, this isn't going to be my where I'm going to go, and I'm going to go in this route instead?
Yeah, because my whole life I didn't think I would go to college and things like that. And so I always could solve problems. So a little bit like Tawanda, who was always, you know, doing and taking care of them. And I was always the problem solver in the family. I always had an answer, or I was like MacGyver, right? I could fix it, find it, do it, you know? And so when, during my life, once I graduated high school, then, you know, I did little bits of education. I have a 1-year administrative degree. And then I went for 2 years for marketing to another college. And then I almost became a teacher. I went 2 more years for elementary education, but then was not able to finish. But yeah, so, you know, the turns were, all of a sudden I realized I'm smarter than I ever gave myself credit for when I was young. And so that's kind of where my life changed, was I ended up going into more education and getting more education and, you know, not worrying about whether I was married or having kids.
Okay. And Tawanda, let me ask you this. I know often we are chasing our passion, especially when we're younger. We get excited about something and then we want to, see it through. Or, you know, like the child that may say, I want to play piano today, and then tomorrow they're like, oh, I want to play drums. So it's like we're chasing whatever it is that interests us at the moment. Do you think that you're still following your passion that initially inspired you, or have your priorities shifted over time?
Well, it's definitely changed. But what I want to add is, and I'm thinking about writing a book about this, being a big sister. It's something to be a big sister, and it's definitely something to be a big sister when you come and you live in poverty, because at that time, even at a very early age, I knew that I had to do something to be able to make money and have a certain level of success. And I knew I had to inspire and encourage my siblings to do that. And I knew that I wanted to be able to give my parents a different type of life than the life that they had, because they deserved it. So when I finished high school, I went to college. And at first I wasn't sure about going to college, even though I was prepared for it, because I wanted to get a great job, make a lot of money, like my cousin did. But I learned very quickly during the summer before college started that I think I need to go get some more information and resources and education. So I went to college, and then even after college, I had a decent job, but it didn't make a whole lot of money. But I knew I still had to do more. Because a lot of times, you know how you have a goal and you get to that goal and you realize, that's not enough. You know, being a college graduate, having a decent job in my field, it didn't land me too much money, and I had student loans and a lot of bills. So then I eventually started a business, and I never in my life thought about starting a business. I didn't really know how to start a business. I didn't know what kind of business I would start. But when I did, it showed me the opportunity to how I can work my job and how I can build a part-time business and I can make extra income and I can start doing more of those things that I really wanted to do, which was be able to be a blessing to my family. So, yeah, it definitely shifted my whole focus because, like, even what I'm doing today, I never in a million years thought this is what I would be doing.
Okay. And I think I can, resonate with that because I wanted to start a business when I was younger, but I never really knew doing what because I come from a background where my dad had his own business, but he also worked a 9-to-5. So in my mind, it's possible, but I'm like, well, I can't do what he does because he does IT work, and to me, he's a genius, but I'm like, I'm going to do something. So I did a lot of research before I even started to work for myself, and I think that, yeah, I definitely was chasing a passion because I pretty much had been doing the same thing since I was about middle school age, which was designing websites and just doing stuff on the computer. So I can definitely agree and resonate with you on that level. And Dee, what about you? Do you think that you're still following the passion that initially inspired you, or has your priority shifted?
I'm still following the passion from once I went. Of course, I didn't become a teacher. But my initial thing that I wanted to do was marketing. And I worked for many, many businesses as their marketing assistant, VP, assistant to the VP of sales, and did pretty much every type of assisting job. And so always in a marketing, always more geared towards marketing, sales, and things like that. The other thing I was going to comment on was even at a young age. So at 18, I had my first business, but it was a network marketing company. And the reason why I started that was because I loved the idea of natural products and offering it to other women. And I loved makeup. My whole life I loved makeup and skincare and all of that. And so that was my first try, but I wasn't good. I wasn't good at building a team. You can only ask your friends and family so many times. And so over the years, I've kept trying, but I realized I wanted really good products that I could represent, but I didn't want a team, like this huge team of people. And so I never ended up working well in those type of companies. So that was my biggest, I always knew I wanted something more. I was not like the rest of my family, but I didn't know what, and I kept getting involved with network marketing, knowing that I don't know anybody and how am I going to get people? You know what I mean? So that was always that's probably my failure, but a learning experience over and over and over and over again.
Okay. And do you think that, because we all know that every situation, there's some challenges and obstacles that we have to get through. So do you think that looking back at everything, do you think that there was some major obstacles that you faced in realizing your younger self, and did you overcome them?
Honestly, my, you know, my initial, like I said, of being put into foster care at birth, really, you know, it left a mark. It left a mark to make it very difficult for me to proceed to have dreams and to have, you know, so there was not one thing. It's just the insecurities that instills. And, you know, over my career, I think I had, when I always had confidence, but, you know, when you're working for other people, it's a lot easier to do what's asked than to try to work for yourself. So that's, you know, the biggest change is working for myself and really, you know, it's a vision, and I see it, and I love that I've had this within me. It's just taken a long time to come to fruition.
Okay, and I can understand that. Not everything is how you plan it to be or how you envision it, so you just have to roll with the punches. And what about you, Tawanda? What are some major obstacles you face in realizing your younger self and dreams, and how did you overcome them?
One of the biggest obstacles that I've had to overcome, well, I think two of the biggest obstacles that I've had to overcome, and I've said this to so many people, the very first one will be SCLF. You know, a lot of times when you get ready to open a door, a travel, a journey that you've never traveled before, you don't know anyone that's traveled it, it can be extremely scary. It can be having to learn new things, having to learn new habits and new routines. Like, those are all very, very scary things. I remember one time in a training that I was in, because I, too, have been in network marketing for an extremely long time, one of my success coaches was saying this training, and he said that he was at, and I got to tell the story, so just bear with me for a second, but he was at the airport, and he was in the long line, and he saw that he was in, like, this one line to go through this door, and he saw that there was a second door on the other side, but no one was going through that door. And he said, is it closed? Why nobody's going through it? Not really sure. And he was like, well, I think I should go through that door, but if I get out of line, this is a long line, I'm like halfway, and I go to that door and the door is like blocked or it's closed, I'm going to look stupid, and I'm going to have to come right to the back of the line. And he said, he thought for a couple of seconds, and he said, screw it, I'm doing it. And as he got out the line and he walked over to the other side and started walking, he said he could hear people whispering, what's he doing? You can't go through that door. He ain't come back, get in front of me. And it was just going on and on. And he said he never looked back, but he heard the whispering. And he just said he put his head up, he kept walking, and he was saying to himself, oh, God, what in the world am I going to do with this door to open? And he just was pulling his luggage. And so when he got to the door, he's like, oh, Lord, please let it open, please let it open. And he just pushed his hand, hoping like hell it would open, and it did. And then he said, then he looked back and stuck his tongue like, and walked on out. And he said, that's how we are in life a lot of times. You know, a lot of times we want to step out of our comfort zone. We want to do something, but we're scared to go first. And as soon as he went through that door, over half the line shifted and ran to go out that door as well. And that's one of the obstacles that I had to overcome in my life, because I'm the first person in my family on my dad's side to go to college. And to me, that's huge. I'm the second person on my mother's side. I'm the only person that's been in business for an extremely long time, well over a decade. People still ask me, my family, I know you're making money because you got a new car, you got this, you got that, but what do you do again? Because they still have that job mentality. And nothing's wrong with that. It's just that I chose a different path. So the first obstacle was me making a choice that I had to do something, and I had to do it by myself. And the second obstacle that I had was my associations once again. You know, I miss parties, I miss trips, I miss this, I miss that, because a lot of times, you know, I learned a long time ago, if someone won't die for you, don't let them live for you. And people always say, oh, Tawanda, let's go here. I'm like, nope, can't do it, can't go, not available, da-da-da. And people are like, oh, you're going to work, can't take it with you, and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, y'all crazy. I'm like Les Brown. Man, y'all must be crazy. Because I got a goal and a dream. And guess what? If I can't go hang out, I can't travel, I don't choose to do that. And it's been a sacrifice because I've had so many people in my circle and associations in life over the last 20 years that's bashed me because I couldn't go to parties and events because I was choosing to work or to build my business and do something different. But I had to have enough thick skin and enough vision to say, you know what? Hey, y'all will be all right because one day I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to sleep and get up when I'm done. And y'all will be working on your journey of the broke and doing whatever because you're hanging out. So that was an obstacle, but I did it.
So do you believe that if you would have followed your first vision for your life in the beginning, that people would probably be more understanding to that than they are to the career that you chose to do?
Of course. If I would have become a school teacher like I wanted to initially, I would have had a basic life. And again, I'm not hating on anybody's basic, but when you have been born to be incredible and do something exceptional, it's a whole other level. Okay, so if I would have followed my first thing, I would have had a job as a teacher, which I did have a job as a teacher. I quit 2 days later, another story for another time. But I would have worked Monday through Friday. I would have been out there in the summer. I would have been on all the trips. I would have made about $40,000 a year. I probably would have still been living in my little small town. I probably would have married some joker that I don't even like. And I would have probably just jumped because that is not the life that I wanted. I need incredible daily.
Okay. And let me ask you this, Dee. So it's like we all have regrets and there's lessons from regrets, right? So are there any aspects of your earlier dreams that you regret not pursuing or giving attention to?
Honestly, because I, you know, had a different life, I think I have so much, and like the obstacles that I had when I was young and kept me stunted and in fear, those I didn't have aspirations. I just didn't. The husband and the kids are just what you see on TV, and I didn't allow myself to dream. I've always been the kind of person who waits to get excited or about a trip until we're actually going, because I spent my life feeling like I'm going to get let down or they're going to send me back or so. Now I have an opportunity. So my vision started to come together. You know, it's more like I didn't have one. And so now I have vision and I see what I want to do and who I want to help. And so I have such a different perspective than pretty much most people because I came from nothing. And now I know everything about myself as much as I possibly can from all my biological family that I found on both sides. And so that's for another time. But, yeah, I didn't have a lot of vision. I couldn't let myself. I just had to get through each day.
So how has your definition of success changed over the years?
I think it's the definition of success for me would be making, being comfortable with whatever wealth I have, but using that to be able to enrich the lives of other women. And so success to me means helping women who have, who are single moms of, you know, of small children, helping, you know, helping foster children, you know, find better ways and, you know, understanding, you know, that, that they're not nothing because they, you know, because they don't have a standard family. And I just think the vision to help people came from all the pain and, you know, lack of passion that I had and fear that I had when I was young.
Okay. I can understand that. And Tawanda, how do you measure success now compared to how you envisioned it when you were younger?
I used to think that when I was younger, I thought success was about stuff and success was about money and success was about people saying, oh my gosh, you have this and you have that. That's not at all what success is to me. Success is health. Success is waking up every day and doing the things that you want to do. Success is setting goals and being able to accomplish and achieve them. Just like people say that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, same thing with success. It's up to what we feel like. If we're happy and satisfied with the life that we're living, with what we're doing, with how we're achieving our goals, then that's your success. And that's what I see success as today.
Okay. And, you know, I think when I was younger, I think that I thought maybe success was like, you know, you have a certain amount of money in your account, you have a house, maybe a family. I don't know if I necessarily think that way now. I think that, like, similar to what Tawanda said, it's just, it really depends on your, what your career is, because you could be a successful doctor and, you know, you meet certain criteria to be a successful doctor. But if you're a teacher, then you could be a successful teacher, but it's not going to look like the same thing as if you were a successful doctor, because of course they make two different amount of money. So their life is going to look a little bit different, but it's all about what you put your own, what how you define it and what you think that will make you happy for your success. So let me ask you this, Dee. What advice or wisdom would you give to your younger self if you were able to, you know, say, hey, little Dee, I think that you should do this. So what type of advice would you give to little Dee?
I think I would, what's the word I want? Lift her up. Like, I would tell her how smart, like, I would show her the things that she was doing within the family and how she fixed the problems and handled everything and was the one who woke up in the morning happy and woke everybody else up to get ready for school and made sure my brother was safe, you know, when we, because we were the same age, because when I was adopted, my mom had a nine-month-old and I was 18 months old. And so I was always his protector. And I think if I could talk to her now, I'd say, you know what, you are important. You're special. And I would lift her up and I would say, don't let anybody tell you you're not important.
Yeah, I agree. And that's definitely encouraging words to tell anyone, especially yourself. And what about you, Tawanda? What advice would you give to little T?
Well, before I give that advice, I have to comment on something you just said when you were talking about, I can't remember what it was you were just saying, but you reminded me of something when you talked about success. I remember well over a decade ago, I might have been like 36, 37, and I remember going home. I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was on the way to my hometown about 2.5 hours away to go around Christmas. And, you know, I'm off from my job. I have my business. Like, life is great. I'm excited. I'm going home for a couple of days for Christmas. So I'm calling different people while I'm on the way home so I can probably get up with them over the Christmas holidays, right, because my job is closed. And I remember calling a very good friend of mine who I love and adore, but I hadn't talked to her like 2 or 3 years. And she said, hey, girl, what's going on? How you doing? We ain't talking for long. And so we're just catching up, like, hey, how you doing? Because I knew she got married. I knew she had 2 kids. I'm like, how are you? How are the kids? Da, da, da. She's like, oh, my gosh, this married life. Kids are good. Your work is good. I'm in school, blah, blah, blah. She said, what's up with you? I'm like, girl, I am great. I'm working. I got the best job. I have a business. It's booming. Got me a new car. Like, life is great. And she said, oh, okay. She said, did you ever get married? I'm like, no. She's like, kids? I'm like, no. She said, oh. And then we kind of chat for another minute or two, and the phone hung up. And for the first time in my whole life, have you ever had a situation to where, like, somebody burst your bubble?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. And the thing is, this person is somebody who I love and adore. So she wasn't trying to burst my bubble. But a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Most people are thinking about the picket fence and the husband and the babies and so on and so forth. So even though I told her that life was great and I was good and I was doing this and this and this, that meant nothing because I didn't check all the boxes. Because the last 2 questions was husband, nope. Kiddos, nope. Oh, well, you don't have success. Because that's what success is. And I felt like mud. I might have been driving like 70. I think I was started driving like 30 miles per hour. Like, I mean, I really went through a whole situation for about 10 minutes. Like, my life must be crap because I don't have this stuff. And then I had to remind myself and say, hold up, get it together. You got to realize that what one person's journey, that's not your journey. Like, you know how sometimes you got to pep your own stuff up? I had really went from, like, sugar to shit in that little conversation. So I had to build myself back up because I had never felt like that before. And then I started wondering if other people would think like that and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to say that to you because, again, success is not what other people define it as. It's what you define it as. And what I would tell my younger self, what I would tell that younger person is the very first thing is live. I know a lot of times we go around and we say, oh, well, you only live once. Nah, that's not true. You live every day. Mm-hmm. Live your life to the fullest. That's the first thing I would tell my younger self. The second thing I would tell my 17-year-old self is, as soon as your ass turn 18, you better not screw your credit up and get all these credit cards. Because that's what I did. Because I was broke. I didn't have no money. And it was easy to get credit cards in college. And I got them. And I maxed them out in 3 days. Because I didn't have nothing. So I would tell my younger self, don't do that. Don't be so thirsty and desperate and go to the mall and go on a shopping spree and spend $3,000. So you ain't never had no money. Seriously. And the third thing I would tell my younger self is enjoy the journey. And what I mean by that is we all want to be grown. I got a book called I Want to Be Grown. And it's talking about different people in their journey and situation in life. Because everyone want to be grown. And as soon as you be grown, you be 20, you be 30, you be 40, you want to hit turn back 17, 18 again. Enjoy the journey. I promise you, enjoy the journey. You're going to get there. You're going to get to be 21 and get in the club. You're going to get to be 25 and 30. But enjoy the journey because you live life every single day. And learn from people's mistakes. I got to add that one. It's okay to learn from people's mistakes. God has blessed me so tremendously in life that I've made a lot of progress, and I skipped a lot of trials and hurt and pain because people blessed me and said, let me tell you, honey, you getting ready to go down that road, but I've been down there, and let me tell you what happened. And I said, you know what? Thank you. I appreciate it. I ain't going. You got to be able to sometime learn from other people's mistakes and mishaps. And I know we all want to make our own mistakes. But sometimes mistakes can be deadly. We got to definitely sometimes take it from somebody else. But that's what I would tell my younger self, because I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful because God has been so good to me. God has been so, so, so good to me. So I would just tell that person all those things, because I know they would be as happy as I am, full of joy.
Okay. Well, and you know, that makes me think of another thing to ask. So I feel like as females and women, there's a lot of pressure for, you know, us to get married and by a certain age and have children by a certain age, to where as though, you know, you see your friends doing it and a part of you like, should I be doing that? Which, you know, like Tawanda said, there's, you know, everyone has a different path in life and everyone has a different vision. So what's going to be great for a lawyer is not necessarily going to be great for someone who is a fashion designer, because there's two different lanes that they're in. So I want to ask you, Dee, is there anything that maybe an associate, a friend, even maybe someone that you have had a brief conversation with, where they had, you had a conversation with them and they said, okay, this is the road that I'm on, and it made you feel maybe I should be on a different road, or maybe it made you feel like, you know what, I'm exactly where I'm at because that's not going to work for me.
You know, my family, they are my biggest supporters, but sometimes they don't always get it. I come from a family of introverts on my adoptive family, and, you know, they're good at doing what they do. They all went to college. They all, you know, followed a certain path. So every now and then, I get the, well, are you going to take something permanent? Or, you know, like trying to get me to go back. And I get that. I understand, because they want me to be, what's the word I'm looking for, you guys, that for stable, you know, just have that stable job. But you know, I wasn't born. I love everything Tawanda said, and both of you. But I wasn't born for ordinary. I was born for extraordinary. And it's a longer journey for some of us. But I know it's coming. And so I don't, my mom, I think she made a comment about me to someone else, and I overheard it, and that hurt for a long time. You know, there's things that'll derail your brain and say, oh, well, maybe I should just, you know, throw it all away, you know, throw away the dream and just go back, you know, just go back to the eight to five and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's not where I want to be anymore. And so I have to keep my eyes on the prize, which is knowing that I can help other people because I will have enough wealth that I can help them. And that's really my goal. I don't have children and I don't have a husband. So my ultimate goal is to provide help for other people.
And I definitely believe the road to success is not necessarily an easy one, especially when you are an entrepreneur or you're doing something that other people don't quite get. So it's hard for people to necessarily support something that they don't get, or is something that to them is foreign.
Exactly.
So that's definitely something that I had to face, and I'm pretty sure I still have my friends like same thing like Tawanda said earlier, like, I know you're successful because I see you have this, that, and the third, so you're paying for it one way, and I'm not selling myself, so it's definitely through business. So I definitely do get that. And so do you think that at this moment that you, because everyone on this line has achieved so much, and I'm sure, like, our listeners have achieved so much, even if they don't necessarily, they're not exactly where they want to be. But, again, everything is a process. But do you believe that you're living the life that that where you're supposed to be now, or do you think you still have a lot of work to do?
Are you talking to me? For Dave?
Yeah.
I think I have. Yes. I think I have work to do. I think that I am so close. I do believe that, you know, God had to put me through some things in 2022 in order for me to get down to the level and understanding of the people that I profess to want to help. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that and I have this goal and this vision. But if you've never felt it, sometimes your empathy, you can have empathy, but when you've been down in the trenches and really been that into, you know, some negatives, that you now can say, oh my gosh. And like, I really feel like now I have an understanding of the pain that it is to look into your children's eyes when you don't have any money or you don't have any, you know, you can't get them what they need, even let alone what they want. And so I do feel like my journey, I'm not there yet, but I have so many skills and I have so much opportunity in front of me that I know that I'm very close.
And I agree. I believe that. I believe that you're very close to being where you want to be. And what about you, Tawanda? Do you think that you are close, or you're exactly where you imagine you want to be, or you feel like you have a ways to go?
Man, I am not even halfway there, but I'm definitely on the journey. I sent you guys something the other day, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet, but it was so incredible. I stumbled across it on Facebook, and it said, motivation to listen to every morning. It's about 20 minutes, and they had Les Brown on there, Steve Harvey, probably I think Jim Rohn and a few other people. And Steve Harvey, oh my gosh, love, love, love Steve Harvey. He was like, man, you want to get to your dreams and goals, the very first thing you got to realize is stop sleeping all the damn time. Rich people don't sleep no 8 hours a day. It's only 24 hours in a day. 8 hours is a third of your life. If you sleep in 8 hours a day and you're on the West Coast, by the time you get up, it's 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and the stock market's been going for 2 hours. You don't even know what's going on in the world. And he was just going in and going in and going in, and he was just basically saying that nothing is wrong with being ordinary, but some people were born to be extraordinary. I'm like, And then Jim Rohn was talking about how some people – They're born, they live, they want to be safe. And he said, nothing's wrong with being safe. Stay safe and stay in the corner, and we'll feed you and put some clothes on you, and you'll be okay. He said, or you can live, and you can take risks. He said, I'd rather live 30 years in this world taking risks than 100 in the corner being safe. And I was driving and in tears, and I was excited. I'm like, oh my gosh! And I just said all that to say, man, the best is still yet to come. The best is still, because I don't have my millions yet, and it's not about the money. It's about who I'm going to bless with the money. It's about being able to create more change in the world. It's about what I want to do for children, for people in prison, for the homeless. Like, I'm just getting started. God has given me so many people to associate with, to learn, to grow. And, man, I'm just getting warmed up, because I'm being to 100. I'm going to be in some country that'll be saying Tawanda Allen, and I'll be looking at this TV thing on my computer of all the different things we've created by the incredible people that I've met, just like you guys, like people that I've never physically met. But you have trust and you have love and you're going to create things. So, no, ma'am, girl, I'm just getting started. And the best is yet to come. As my old pastor used to say, hey, I serve a guy that I believe in great big supernatural blessings. And eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard what I know God has in store for me, for Dara, for C. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be incredible.
I believe it. I was just about to say your sermon before you said your pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
And let me ask you, Dee, so what advice would you give to the audience? So someone that might be listening right now and they say, you know, I feel a little lost. I don't know what I should be doing with myself. And what advice would you give them?
I think, I mean, I love this, and I've heard it before, but I love that Tawanda, she holds on to this. This is something, and that's the five, having the five people around you that are going to lift you up and help you get to your goals. You know, you want those people to be almost better than you, right? And so I think if to our listeners, and is to find your, I don't know, you know, if they got a chance to listen to our discussion on our tribe, but having a tribe around you of like-minded, but even, you know, even further along people than you yourself is, it's huge, is to have people to bounce ideas off of and have, you know, accountability. And I think for me with starting my business, I didn't really know direction and what to do. And if I could go back now, if you're thinking about starting, start right. Start. I mean, I'm not saying don't spend 8 years trying to get your marketing plan together, but it's start the steps and work through them. Get, you know, get the things in place and find out what you really want to do and get going. And do it right and become your own boss and almost like tell yourself what needs to be done and do it. Because the thing about network marketing for me, those were always my original types of jobs. I never knew what to do. And so, you know, and my vision is to, I loved what Tawanda said. I even wrote it down, is what is success? It's health, freedom. You know, goals and accomplishments, that's success. And you can't get there, you know, if you don't just work through each of those. You set your first of all, your health, and then you know, if you know you want that freedom, then you got to set the goals and you got to have a vision and you got to work towards each, you know, and celebrate your accomplishments. So, you know, this actually helped me just as much as I hope it helps our listeners.
Well, that's good. Free therapy. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
I'll take it. Amen.
And what about you, Tawanda? What advice would you give to the lost listeners?
In reference to what Dee was saying, yeah, I'm always talking about the laws of association because a lot of people don't really realize the power that friendships and associations have. You know, and the laws of association says, you show me who your friends are, I'll show you who you are. Because when you're around people that's negative, guess what? You're going to use the negative. So if you think about the five people that you are around the most, you'll see a lot of your character and traits in them and vice versa. And the thing about associations is you can have a person, like, let's say you got a person, like, I don't know if you guys have ever had, like, you got a friend, they have all these ideas, these dreams, these goals, right? And they got five friends that's, like, sharp, ambitious, setting goals. And then you ever wonder, like, hey, I don't see her anymore. She don't come around. You know why? It's because of the association circle. She can't be around those people because those people are not going to allow those excuses. Those people are going to remember what the goals were. And they're going to be asking, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? So they're going to go to someplace that's comfortable where they can be in the corner, living to 100, being safe. You understand what I'm saying? That's the power of association. When you have five powerhouses around you that's moving, that's shaking, that's doing what they say, and you get in that circle, you get in that tribe, it's over with for you because you're going to be great. All you got to do is stay there. Because when you're near the fire, you're going to get hot. And that's just how powerful associations are. So what I would say to people, and I've always done this, I've got people that I've known in my life that I love, but they're negative. They're pessimists. And I run. So the very first thing I want to say to anyone who's listening, if you have someone in your life
that's not stroking your vision, they're choking your dream. So turn around and run. Run away from them devils because they're stopping you from getting where you got to go. If they're not stroking your vision, they're choking your dream. And I'm not having nobody steal my dream. Uh-uh. Not having it. So that's number one. Second thing is get your tribe. Get your business bestie. Get your circle of supports. Get your favorite five, whatever. Get people that's positive, that's progressive, that's moving forward, that they have goals and dreams, and they'll encourage you with your goals and dreams. That is essential if you want something in life, if you want more. Like, I can't even explain. Because guess what? You earn more when you become more. We got to read. Mm-hmm. You got to set goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people just say, I'm wishing. Man, you wishing upon a damn star. You got to have a goal, and you got to have a deadline, and tell someone about it so it just won't be a secret. Remember, we live every day. Make it count.
Exactly. And, yeah, I love what both of you guys said. Like, I think that's very inspiring and a good message to send to the audience. I was going to add that. Remember, it's never too late to pursue your dreams and aspirations. Take a moment to reflect on your journey. And if it's not quite where you want to be, then you can take small steps. Like Dee had mentioned before, take small steps to get closer to that vision. And don't give up. If it's something that you truly want to do, align yourself with people that's already doing it so that would inspire you to get to where you need to be. And if it's something that you truly want to do, then don't let no one discourage you from doing it. If you're not harming or hurting anyone, that's important. If you're not harming or hurting anyone, then you should chase your dreams and find success, whatever that means to you. So before we wrap up, ladies, is there any last words that you want to let the audience know or any advice you want to give to the audience? I'll start with
you,
Kawanda.
Well, I definitely want to. All right, I'm sorry I was talking over you. First thing I want to say is thank you so much, T, for hosting this call tonight. Like, this call has warmed my heart and my soul. I just really love just really the association with the two of you. You are wonderful, beautiful people. I'm so thankful to God to have met you. Thank you again for this topic. It's just it's having me reflect on some things. I'm going to contact Dara and have her help me with my new dream board and Canva, since she's a Canva queen. but I'm just so excited, and when you get excited, things happen. So mm-hmm. I just want to say to all the ladies out there, get excited and things are going to happen, and find your tribe.
And
yes,
for me, and we appreciate you too. And I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Oh, no problem. My last is, you know, the one thing that when you're a person who's had to struggle, you know, to get there because you come from a different background, you see it over and over and over again. And the only way that you can fail is if you quit. And so I'm not willing to quit. And, you know, even though we all have our, you know, our beliefs about, you know, we don't want to fail and we have this fear, all these fears, really what it comes down to is, you know, you only fail when you quit. And usually when you quit, like, I don't know, do either of you know that saying that they say that you were like, you were just on the, basically on the precipice of success? A lot of people who quit, they quit right before their success was about to come to them. So I just keep that in mind, and I say, no, I'm not. I'm going to – I have things I need to do, and I have – so I would say to the audience, if you have things you need to do, just know that there's going to be trials and tribulations, and you just got to keep pushing through. If it's a true vision and you feel it's from God and this was your destiny, then do it and just keep pushing.
That's right. That's, and, you know, I got to say this because – it's a song that I heard a long time ago, and I got to find this song. And anybody that's listening, If you know what song I'm talking about, please tag us and let me know. But the song is saying something about, and kind of in reference to what you mentioned about people quitting, and it was talking about, you know, the enemy, you know, how the enemy comes to kill and destroy, and says, you know what, the reason that the devil is attacking you is because the devil has a glimpse of your future, and he sees how bright it is, and the devil wants to distract you from getting to all these wonderful things that God has for you. And that's the thing. Just think about, you know, whatever it is you want, whether it's riches, gold, family, like that stuff is right around the corner. And sometimes we get so tired and we quit and we just have no idea what was next. It also reminds me of this movie that I love called, what is it called? The Giants. What is it? Failing the Giants. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to tell me this movie. What was it? What is it? Facing the Giants.
Facing the Giants. I don't know.
It's that movie about the kid that's he's playing football and this coach is real hard on him and he has him blindfolded. What is it called?
I'm laughing because you said the guy that played in the movie with the football.
Oh, he plays in this movie. This kid is a football. I got to Google it.
It's Facing the Giants.
Okay. So do you remember that movie?
No, I Googled it.
Okay, well, in the movie, there's this kid. He's a football player, and I know we got to go. This teenager, he's a football player, and his coach blindfolds him because he's trying to push these guys to their fullest potential. And he has them blindfolded, and he's, like, crawling or whatever you do on the field. And the guy said, I'm tired. He's like, you can do it. I need you to do more. And he was like, I'm tired. Like, he's exhausted. He said, I want you to give me everything you got. And even when you feel like you don't have nothing left, I still need you to give me more. Like, and I'm saying to myself, man, you're going to kill this boy. Like, he was tired. He was like, I don't know if he was crawling or whatever he was doing. But anyway, and after he just couldn't go no more, like after he pushed him, and the kid just fell, said, I can't. And he said, take off your blindfold. And when he took off that blindfold, he was like over halfway, well, almost to the finish line. And he's like, there's no way. Like, he was only getting halfway. And he was like 80% of the way. And he just knew, like, there's no way I'm almost at the finish line. And he said, see how far you can go? You ain't know your own strength. Mm-hmm. And, boy, let me tell you, I'm always in tears on these movies that teach you life lessons. And that's the thing. We're stronger than we think. Whatever it is that we can think that we want, we're still not even thinking big enough.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Whatever it is we want in our mind, 10x it. Straight up. Times 10. Times 100. We ain't thinking big enough. We are stronger than we think. Boom.
Booyah.
Okay. And I was going to say, was that The Blind Side?
Mm-mm.
You said what?
No, the movie, The Blind Side.
No, it was Facing the Giants. No, it's Facing the Giants. Go ahead.
Because that had a football player then, too, and I knew it had, you know, like an inspirational story. That has...
I'll send you to YouTube. I think I can send you to YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. Even Clutch Podcast is on YouTube.
I was thinking about the one with Sandra Bullock in it. But.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the name of that one?
The Blind Side.
Oh, really? Is it kind of similar?
Yeah, it is kind of similar.
Oh, kind of. Okay. Never heard of it. I got to watch that. Yeah, I love stuff that just have a meaning like that. That's everything.
But, so we actually had a wonderful conversation about visions and the future and the past. So I'm blessed to have both of you on the line with us tonight and to have this wonderful conversation.
Me too. I'm so excited. I can't wait till the next time.
So so thankful. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, C.
Being
thank
the host
you, D.
With the
Where
mostest.
Is A and B? Thank you, C. Thank you, D. Where is A and B?
Thank you,
is that,
C.
Is that our calling card?
Well, while we work on the rest of our alphabets, we're going to wrap up this episode of The Clutch. And we hope you found this discussion to be inspirational as we all did on the line. So thank you all for listening out here. And we are done for the day. See you guys.
All right. Bye-bye for now. Deuces. Happy hour starts next.
Oh, yeah.
Meet me at the scissor.